Hi, everyone. Welcome to Money and Mom, where we navigate retirement with expert advice and some motherly love. So, Mom, welcome back. I know it's been a while. I had to get you a better setup, a little bit better camera, and also a little bit better mic so that way everyone could hear you. And I also just got back from Florida, so it was nice to see you not that long ago. So welcome back. So today, yes, I want to talk about some of the things that you are grateful for in retirement. And I know there's a lot of things, okay? There's a lot of things you can be grateful for. But I want to talk about some of the things that we've already kind of come up with our top five things. But I think it's important, especially me coming back from Florida, I've gotten to see you and Dad live through retirement a little bit, but there are some things that I think it's important to point out to people that are thinking about retiring or want to continue to live in retirement. So one of the things that you had mentioned to me was you had people that you could trust and give information on. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Yes. Well, and part of the trusting the information that I could get from was because your dad had provided a lot of information before we retired or during retirement. I had a lot of confidence in his knowledge, also in knowledge of the people that we worked with, and actually in you after your dad died. And that was important. I knew that I could trust them. Now, you know, there's relationships there that are family relationships. We also had information that we could get from other sources, but most of these have been through people that I really trusted.
Now, Dad was a bit of a different breed because I think you're still trying to, I mean, he passed away in 2021, and I think you're still trying to get off of all these newsletters because I think he signed up for like 100 or I don't know how many newsletters. But that's how he retained a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And then he took a lot of that information, created his own type of portfolio mix based on some of that. And some of it was good, some of it was bad. But he did use a portfolio manager that you and I, we tried to work with a little bit, but unfortunately they didn't meet your needs as far as they were kind of doing the same old strategy where put your money in a 60-40 stock bond mix, which we were kind of surprised because Dad was not one to do a bond mix. But we found out that your dividends and interest from that portfolio was only 2.25%, and the best they could do was move it to 2.35%. So that we just knew that wasn't going to be good enough. So unfortunately, we weren't able to stay with that portfolio manager, but fortunately, we were able to find a better option for that and actually double the income, actually more than double the income.
More than double.
But I think what Dad was trying to do there was he was also trying to help prepare for not just you guys while you're alive, but also when you were, if he was no longer here, that you'd have someone that you could work with.
Exactly.
Not knowing back then that I would get into this. But if we go to number two, which being prepared, it sounds like to me you guys, the number two thing that you were grateful for was being actually prepared. So
yeah,
maybe didn't have necessarily like a written down plan, but you had a plan and you were able to communicate between you and Dad about how things should go. And the idea for you, if I remember right, was for you to know enough to be dangerous, at least have an idea what's going on.
Have an idea. Have an idea that I needed to look to find somebody to help me in certain areas. I mean, the reason we had that that original portfolio manager was exactly what you said, was that was so when Eldon wasn't able to handle the funds, he was trying to find somebody who could handle it for him. And we found out that that was not the best source. It was somebody he had respected from the newsletters and things that he had, but it wasn't a good source. And unfortunately, I mean, well, fortunately, you entered the business, so I was able to get into another portfolio manager that was a lot better. But that was one of the pluses, at least, that in preparing me for what was going to happen in the future, I knew enough to know that I needed to get help, I think, is more the issue. And I knew I needed to be careful about where I got the help from because of our experience already with somebody who was a good portfolio manager. There was nothing wrong with them. But I also learned from Eldon, and I followed the same philosophy. We were not into bonds. There are certain things that we didn't want to do. There are certain things we wanted to happen in our plans, and that was we wanted to live a certain way and off of the dividends a certain way, and there were certain needs that we had, and our portfolio needed to fulfill those needs.
Yeah, so that kind of leads us into number three here, which was have enough saved to live off of the portfolio. So meaning that you have the dividends, you have the interest. And what we found out with that previous portfolio manager was he was in a stock bond mix, 60-40, which originally planned, I thought he wasn't supposed to be in bonds.
He wasn't.
And I thought maybe, okay. And and the reason why, I know a long time ago, this is 2008 or somewhere around there where you started using him. So that was during the financial crisis. There was a lot of free money flowing around, and one of the biggest concerns was inflation, kind of like right now, a little bit. And so Dad wanted to have a little bit of gold in the portfolio to cover any potential high inflation. And that portfolio manager did have a little bit of gold in there. But then my dad learned also that he didn't necessarily like that idea. He liked to have the physical part, the physical gold. But that portfolio manager ended up having a portfolio that he wasn't too fond of, and I think he just kind of let it go. It wasn't the big part of the portfolio, but he kind of let it go. He even said when we were down in Arizona, he wasn't too fond of him, but he just kept it there. You know, he wanted to have somewhere where you would feel comfortable. So having a good plan, you were very prepared. You guys communicated, which is key as well. Before he passed away also, he had all the documents, like all organized stacks of it. But I don't think you knew how many newsletters he was subscribed to until after he was no longer here. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. I knew he had some because I know he did some of those, the business development companies, because he was trying to do something other than the dividends. He's trying to find other ways to get some dividends. So he was in those business development companies.
Yes.
And I remember asking him too, like, how do you pick these business development companies? He's like, well, I go through this newsletter, and I go through this newsletter, and I go through this newsletter.
He had a ton of them. Yes. And there are certain ones that he really believed in.
And it was a stack. It was a stack that he handed me. And I was thinking, was there like a portfolio manager that just like picks these for you? Nope, it was Dad. Dad was the portfolio manager. Now, people that are listening to this are saying, well, I don't have that significant other or someone or even them that are getting that many newsletters or trying to pick those things, or maybe enjoy that. And my dad and your husband, I should say, he did enjoy that. Now, he ran a company that also did financial planning. So it's to kind of go to what he likes to do. He likes to do that stuff. And that kind of kept him occupied while he was in retirement, kept him busy, I think more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he didn't want to leave you hanging, right? So you want to make sure you had enough income. And that's where we went down to those income portfolios or making sure you have enough dividends or interest off of your portfolio, which actually ended up being more dividends rather than interest because you weren't really in bonds.
Right.
Help me understand from your perspective, what do you like about the dividends compared to like a typical 60-40 stock bond mix?
It's just something that it's automatic. I don't have to think about it. But again, that's really why you have a portfolio manager that's doing that. And I guess maybe I don't really, you know, because Eldon was so against bonds, and I understood at one point why. I don't know that I can say that now that I understand why. It's just it didn't give us the return that we wanted. It was too...
It was more, what ended up happening was more risky than it was worth the return.
Right. He always thought bonds were risky, you know, and the accounts that he invested in, there are a lot of them that were really, he always chose, that he had a minimum dividend return that they had, and a consistent dividend was part of what he did. But he was also, you know, at a particular time, and that's what hopefully portfolio manager is handling, there's times where we had way too much cash after 2008. You know, what do you do with that? What do you put it into? And that's why I started looking into the BDCs and that kind of thing. It's got to do something because it couldn't find anything to invest in. Everything was so overpriced. So,
and I can help you out a little bit. I think I remember going to Dad back in 2008, like, aren't you worried about the market? Mm-hmm. Aren't you worried about the financial crisis? He's like, no. I'm like, why not? It's like, because I have my dividends. I'm not worried about, exactly. If I get my dividends, I'm not worried about the ups and downs of the market so much. Right. And as long as you keep getting the dividends, there's nothing to worry about. And I'm not trying to preach dividends here. So, you know, please don't make any financial decisions to just go buy dividend stocks or something like that. But the idea was for you guys to live off the dividends and interest without drawing down the principal of the portfolio.
Correct. And that was the thing that I think kind of saved us a lot in the 2008 crash, was because of that philosophy. I mean, you had this, sure, things went down, but because we were so invested in certain things that had a certain amount of dividends, and we had a certain amount of cash. He would watch how things are going and have a certain amount of cash. We didn't get hit as hard as a lot of people did that we knew around here. I mean, they really got hit hard and lost a lot. I mean, it was really tough on a lot of people. That didn't happen to us because of that philosophy. And he never, you know, he always kind of dissuaded me from just watching the stock market, because when the dividends come through, like you said, it doesn't, you know, I mean, that was kind of part of the reason for it.
So that was the plan, right? But also The plan was to have a portfolio that gave you the dividends and interest without having to worry about the principal. And the idea, I mean, Dad's idea wasn't to leave a bunch of money behind.
No.
He wanted to have enough income to enjoy the money with us, not necessarily leave a bunch behind. But he wanted to make sure he left enough behind for you. Just the idea was to spend it with you and spend it to enjoy it with us. So I know you planned to get enough dividends and enough extra money to do the extra things. You've also had enough income coming in to keep traveling too.
Right.
Do you know how many trips you've gone on since you've retired?
No. I've never added it up. But that was something we enjoyed. And part of, you know, our social life, a part of the retirement was to keep busy with certain social life things. And there was always at least one trip a year, you know, that way. So
you did more than one trip. You did one big trip, but you did more than one trip.
A year, yeah. There's some years that we did quite a bit. It slowed down in the last few years. You know,
you know what I say it was? I always tell people it's the grandkids. Once the grandkids came along, I felt like you guys didn't travel.
Slow down.
But I know it's probably more like, all right, we kind of done a lot now. Like, we're, you know, like, do we need to spend another 12-hour plane ride or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, good. So let's move on to number one, we had people that you could trust. Number two, we had that you're prepared. Number three, you felt like you've saved enough to live off the portfolio, so just the dividends and interest that it was generating.
Right.
And then number four, you mentioned to me that you moved to a little bit more tax favorable state. So let me give a little bit of background. My mom and my dad grew up in Minnesota, and they raised kids in Minnesota. I'm still in Minnesota. And then they moved to Florida, down in Fort Myers, in 2007. So great time to buy a house in 2007 in Lee County, which was the highest foreclosure county in all of U.S. during the financial crisis. So great time to get a house value.
We bought it a little bit too early.
Yeah.
But we didn't pay.
No, I know. Total. That's what I'm saying. You bought it at the peak of the market pretty much. Almost.
Pretty much. It was starting to go down.
Not
enough.
Rolled all the way down. And then, as you said, there were people around the neighborhood that did not do so well. So some turnover in the neighborhood. But and I know there was some turnover just because I know you don't have the golf membership fee, or I know you don't do the golf membership, but the golf membership fee I know
went away.
Was almost like $100,000 at one point. Come 2008, did you say it went away?
No, it went down a lot.
I want to say it was like down to like $20,000.
Something like that, join. Yes. Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, yeah.
And then now it's all the way back over $100,000, I think, if I remember right.
Yep.
I don't know the exact numbers, so you know if anyone knows where my mom lives in that community, you can always reach out to me and tell me. But you now move to a more tax-favorable state. And I think a lot of times people think of just income taxes, but there's more than just income taxes. So what are some other things that kind of came to your mind just besides, you know, income taxes?
The estate tax was a biggie. It's Florida is one of the states. Now, there have been more states that have been added since we moved that no longer have estate tax, but that's a big deal. The other thing is there's little things, like actually property taxes down here are less than Minnesota's. Car registrations, you know, for five cars, it's $250 here.
Oh, wow.
What is one car for you?
I don't even ask.
Don't even ask. You know, I mean, that's for five cars, you know. So, well, maybe I shouldn't even say that. But those are leftover cars.
Yeah, so some people should have some context to that now. My dad and I used to race cars a long time ago, but he was a big car guy. So he, over the years, acquired some cars and then never really sold some of those cars that he acquired. So as he's acquired those cars, we found out, looking back at, and this kind of goes into number five, and we'll come back to the taxes, but I realize now that Dad had these cars more for us to create memories, more so than to have like a bunch of cool cars. Mm-hmm. We got to take those cars to the racetrack with him, with my brother. That's why he had the cars. Now, and this hit me more, you know, later, I realized that once he was no longer here, we're not going to the track as much. We're not doing those things. I mean, obviously we have a little bit more busy lives with younger kids that we're trying to grow up, make sure that they're good human beings. But, you know, going back to the tax side, I mean, you have, and this isn't, I'm not trying to have everyone move down to Florida.
No.
In fact, please, you know, don't. Even when my wife and I were down there with our kids, I mean, we like Florida, but it's busy. There's a lot of stoplights. It's flat. You got to worry about alligators. and hurricanes, because you guys just got hit by a hurricane. But there's some definite benefits. I think there's some downfalls too, and we'll save that for the next episode where we'll talk about some of the things we would have done differently. But I think there's a lot of benefits to moving in a tax-free or more tax-favorable state, because it does, if you think about compounding interest, your money does last a lot longer when you talk about the compounding interest. People are like, oh, I'm only saving 5%. Yeah, but 5% is a lot when you start to compound it for how many years you're there. If you're just down there for 2 or 3 years, yeah, sure, it's not going to make much of a difference. If you're there for, you've been down there for 18 years, 15 years?
Don't ask me. Since 2007.
2007. So 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it adds up. And when you start to think about it. Now, there's arguments that property taxes are higher. There's arguments that, is sales tax higher? I don't even know. I don't think sales tax is higher down there.
Well, remember, there's no income tax. So our sales tax is about even on par with some of the cities in the Minneapolis area, you know, where you have the plus-plus, yeah, kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not a lot higher.
And then you have some toll mm-hmm. toll roads they have to deal with. But that's understandable because, you know, you got to pay for the roads somehow. So toll roads are a way to help pay for those updates. Although you guys don't have a lot of potholes like we do here. You just have hurricanes that take them out, I guess. But
Bridges. Takes bridges.
Oh, yeah, the bridges. That's the Sanibel. She's talking about the Sanibel Bridge. The Sanibel Bridge was taken out by the last hurricane there.
Part of it.
So, all right, so let's move on to number five, being able to stay close with family or connecting with family. I know that was a big thing that you were grateful for in retirement. And you know, staying close with family, everyone can do regardless of the money. But I think there's some cool things that you're able to do with the money. That's what we call creating memories, or at least what we believe in is creating memories.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of money to create memories, but it's one of the things that in planning for retirement, and I know a lot of people really get into their grandchildren. It was not something that I was as into actually as your dad was. He was just, you know, he was pushing for grandchildren. I was like, what, where'd you come from? You know, but I don't think you can underestimate how important family of all types, you know, your in-laws, everybody, your kids, become very important as you go into retirement. That's all I can say.
So there's staying close with your family. I think there's also some other things that go along with that, that, you know, dad was able to, or you and dad were able to provide. One that sticks in my mind is helping out Eric, my brother, with throat cancer.
Right.
When he had throat cancer in
2015.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2015, you were able to step up right away. You guys wanted Eric to have the best care, and you guys helped him cover some of the expenses to get that care down in Texas. And, you know, it was one of those things where you jumped at it right away. Like, you guys jumped at it, were able to help provide. So it's not just, you know, staying close with family, not just creating the memories, you know, doing the trips with the family. I think of you wanting to go to Disney World with us in the fall. You know, that's something that you're like, hey, I'll just get my own room. I'll see you there. Now, granted, some grandparents might not want to do that. I get that. Might not want to go to Disney World. Some do. But hey, you're in Florida, so I guess you get the flirting rate. So it's a lot cheaper for you.
A little bit.
But there's a lot of things that you've been able to provide health-wise, or create memories, or just even being there to watch the kids, you know, flying over to Minnesota to help watch our kids while, you know, my wife and I need to go somewhere. Not in a day, but, you know, there's times where we've needed help too that you've been able to help with. So I appreciate that, number one. But I think it speaks volume as far as, you know, some of the grateful things that you've mentioned to me that you've been able to do when it comes to your retirement plan is being able to stay closely with family and be able to do the things with the grandkids. Now, I will say this. I don't think you spoil our grandkids by any means. I think the other grandparents do, just so you know. But so it's not money, right? That's not money. It's just you have the freedom to go do those things with us. Well, is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, and the other part of it is because things were planned for retirement, I have the freedom to be able to do certain things with my family that I would not be able to do. You know, I didn't have to worry about what's going to happen next month as far as my finances go. Will I have enough money to pay for these things and pay for the things that will come up? You know, repairs on houses and things that happen, you know, or a car or whatever. And I don't have to worry about that as much. I'm more comfortable that way because it's all planned, because it's all figured out. And that is really the blessing.
Now, it's not that complex, though, either. I mean, it's simple. I mean, well, to me, it's simple financial planning. But it's starting with the basics. It's starting with how much money do you need? And you knew what you needed to maintain both houses.
Yes.
And then you also knew what you needed to have a bit of a lifestyle. So there, those things you knew. So I'm trying to, I want to give you some credit. You knew those things. You knew what you needed. But then you knew you also had enough assets to be able to cover those things and actually have more coming in than probably needed. But it's nice to have that extra in case things come up. So like when the hurricane was coming over to Fort Myers, you weren't really concerned. You're just like, oh, this is just an annoyance more than anything else.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you have. Well, I mean, you were, okay, fine.
A big annoyance, yeah.
Financially, you weren't concerned.
Yes,
is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
and I can say that from visiting Fort Myers recently, you know, there's a lot of people that are still struggling financially. I think there's also some things that are there that are doing well, meaning that the hurricane is helping some others though at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to take a lot of time to rebuild that. So. But anyway, to kind of recap the five things that we've kind of built here. Number one, again, we had people you could trust. Number two, you were prepared. Three, you felt like you saved enough to live off of in retirement, meaning just live off of the dividends or the interest. Although you have more interest now, by the way, with not using bonds but different vehicles to give you the interest. And then move to more tax favorable state, which helps. That's not something everyone needs to do, but definitely helps. And then being able to stay closely connected with family. So anything you would add to your top five?
Not really. Not at this point. I can't think of anything. Can you add anything?
I think that's pretty good. I mean, this is mostly related to the financial side, which is nice. I think there are things that we have already talked about on things you've been grateful for as far as maintaining your sanity. You know, that's a little bit different. And if you want to check out our past podcasts, you can go to our CFG Retirement website, cftretirement.com. And then on the top, there's podcasts. You can listen to our past podcasts where we do talk about some of the good and the bad there on, you know, making sure you keep your sanity in retirement, some things you should do, like make sure you have friends and make sure you stay busy. But for today, I think that's pretty good as far as making sure, one, you have a plan, one, you got to have people you can trust. I think that's crucial, whether that be yourself or someone in your family or your advisor. Two, that there's a plan and that you need to understand it to a degree, right? Like you understand that your income is coming in. You don't necessarily have to worry. Three, that you felt like you should know that you've saved enough. Four, you don't necessarily have to move into a tax-favorable state, but it helps. Or at least I think what would be smart is lowering your taxes as much as possible, whether that's staying in that state or not. Try to be tax efficient with your money, and then being able to stay close to your family is always great to do. So with that being said, I think this concludes our podcast, but I want to give everyone a heads up on the next one, which is what some of the things that we wish we would have done differently in retirement. So we'll make sure we go over that, such as like healthcare, some of the things that maybe we didn't expect as far as when we moved to a more tax favorable state as well. And also how we create income to cover some of these things, I think would be good to talk about. So we'll see you guys on the next one. Mom, as always, thanks for joining me. And if you need to reach out to us, please go to our CFG Retirement website at cfgretirement.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
Investment advisory services offered through Assured Retirement Financial Group, DBA CFG Retirement, Inc., a registered investment advisor in the state of Minnesota.